the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Paige Bambushi Rafflesberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour film and TV edition. How are you, Mom?
What's up? Doing wonderfully, sweetie. You know what's up. I'm visiting with you for the holiday weekend.
Yeah, long time no see.
I'm very excited about the menu and the activities that we have planned for the next, well, really, it's the next week.
Well, next couple of weeks,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, you know, next, let's say 10, 11 days or so. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm very excited about everything. I won't go into detail. We'll talk about it, you know, after the holiday.
Well, we can let everybody know that we're going to the rodeo.
I think we mentioned that before.
Oh, yeah, we did mention that.
Yeah,
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, we're going to the rodeo. We're going to, of course, have some scrumptious food. We're going out for dinner. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we're going to a softball game, correct?
No, not softball, baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah, the Rangers.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, I thought softball and baseball was the same. I don't know.
No.
Okay. All right. So, and the weather is wonderful. We have a nice, balmy 90-something degree temperature. Mm-hmm. So, everything is everything. Not to mention
delicious
cocktails. No rain expected. So, we are doing wonderful, sweetie. How about you? What's up with you?
I'm with you. Everything that you said. I'm looking forward to, you know, my lovely house guests for the next, you know, 10, 11 days. And it's going to be nice. I don't really have any complaints about anything. Let's just tell everybody what we're sipping on so we can get started on the topic. So, Noble Wolf Vodka, you know, that's one of our favorite. But today's flavor is pink lemonade, Ma. So, lead us in with the toast.
Okay, here's to health, wealth, happiness, long life, and prosperity. Salud.
Salud. That's really good. That's like, that's pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Are you ready to start, Mom? Oh, wow. Okay.
Ready whenever you are.
All right. So the first movie is On the Count of Three, executive produced and directed by Gerard Carmichael. Everybody knows Gerard Carmichael from The Carmichael Show. So starring him. And it also stars Christopher Abbott and Tiffany Haddish. Christopher Abbott is the guy from Girls, ladies and gentlemen. So it's the story of two best friends suffering from depression. One is a blue-collar worker, Val, played by Gerard Carmichael. And Kevin is his best friend in a psychiatric hospital. They are both suicidal. And this kind of tells you the tale of when Val breaks his best friend out of jail, and we go on an adventure with these two, a journey of self-discovery. So, Mom, what are your thoughts on the Count of Three? And guys, this is on Hulu.
You know, I had many thoughts about it. Initially, I said to myself, this film just is so down. It's like the two friends saw no value in life, and they just wanted to end it, and they were determined to do that. However, somewhere along the line, and there didn't seem to be any reason, any rhyme or reason for any of it. And then somewhere along the line, as the story start to unfold, without telling exactly, you know, the reasons why, we begin to see the story behind, what's his name? The friend who was in the psychiatric hospital?
I don't remember the friend's name.
Well,
Christopher Abbott is the actor.
Christopher Abbott's role, his character, mm-hmm. We begin to find out some of the very deep-seated reasons for his depression and for his suicidal behavior. Mm-hmm. And it started early on in childhood, and it was severely traumatic, is all that I will say. And it was a up and down, you know, road. Sometimes it was interesting. Sometimes it was a bit slow. And like I said, it really did build up. It started to get better and better as the story went on. Because initially I almost dismissed it as a not really very meaningful movie. But as I continued to watch it, Carmichael's character.
Val.
Yeah. No,
this Val?
Well, anyhow, yes. Carmichael's character, did all of a sudden decide that life was worth living. And I won't go into the reason why, but I'll just decide that, no, he went up and down. At some points, he decided life is worth living, and then at other points, he decided that it was not. So it was a rocky road. It was a very uneven path that they both took. And all in all, I think it was pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, I had to rewatch it because we were having discussions before, guys, in full disclosure, and I missed a lot of key elements from the first watch. And I really appreciated the film once I rewatched it. I thought that Carmichael did a really good job. I don't know if this is his first movie that he directed. It's a little slow in parts. I think, you know, there could have been little pickups here and there that would have made it a top shelf for me. But I'm going to give it the highest premium that I possibly could because I thought it was well acted. I thought it was an interesting story. It was a little bit different than I thought. And, a little bit of a surprise ending. And Tiffany Haddish was a good addition. And so was Harvey. What's his name? Harvey. Not Harvey Keitel. What's his from Happy Days?
Henry Winkler.
Why am I calling him Harvey? Okay.
Right.
Well, so I'm going to give it a premium 7.5. What are you giving?
Okay, I'm going to give it a premium 7. I thought it was good as well. A little slow in some parts. It was really a little bit slow in some parts. But the end was worth it. As the story built up, you started to really develop an attachment and an understanding and have empathy for the two main characters. And Tiffany Haddish did not have a big part, but she had an extremely significant part.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really good. So, I give it a 7. I give it a premium 7.
Okay. Our second movie of the week is Vengeance, and it was written and directed by BJ Novak. For the guys and ladies who don't remember, he is from The Office. So it's the story of Ben, and he's a New York journalist who discovers a woman that he hooked up with a couple of times. She died. She passed away. And she apparently told the family that they were in a much more serious, exclusive relationship than they actually were. So he was guilted into attending the funeral, which happened to be in Texas. Mind you, he's in New York. In the meantime, he realizes that she may have been murdered. And with the help of a top producer played by Issa Rae, they decide to record a podcast about this woman, about Abby, about her death. Also, Ashton Kutcher has a decent role in here, and Boyd Holbrook. So, Mom, what are your thoughts on Vengeance
was interesting. Initially, it was very interesting. I was totally surprised at the turn the story took. The characters were well played overall. It broke a lot of stereotypes, and it had an extremely surprise ending. An ending that I just did not see coming at all. It was good. That's all I can say. Without going into the story, it was really good. And it seemed as though the main character developed an attachment for the deceased girl who he was supposedly, he had a hookup with. Anyhow, her name was Abilene, like Abilene, Texas, and they called her Abby. Mm-hmm. And she was a singer. And I do want to share that she also had some sketchiness in her own character. She was very vulnerable. And that just made for a more interesting story. And that made for more intrigue because you really never knew, whether she was really murdered, whether it was an accident, or whether, you really never knew. And that whole story was told. And it was good. It was really good. It was surprisingly good. And like I said, the ending, you wouldn't guess in a million years. You wouldn't guess the ending. Up until the last 5 or 10 minutes of the movie, you would never have any idea where they're going with the ending.
I enjoyed this film a lot. I thought it was really well done. Coming from New Jersey, New York area, and him actually, BJ Novak's character, coming to Texas, it was kind of funny because there was a lot of things that I think that I personally experienced, and maybe you did too, Mom, but I experienced on a, you know, a different level. And I thought it was cool because some of the things were stereotypes, but a lot of the things were true when they, like Whataburger and, you know, yeah, things they like
really,
that.
They really went in on Whataburger.
Yeah.
And Whataburger, for a long time, I thought they were saying water.
I did too.
W-A-T-E-R, Whataburger.
I did too. When I first heard it.
And that Whataburger.
Right. And Whataburger, if you have not had it before, I think it's really delicious.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
But anyway, I think it was really well done. Different type of story. The ending for me actually kind of made me lower the rating, even though I thought it was well done. I wasn't expecting it, and I thought it was kind of out of character without going into detail. So I'm going to give this one also a high premium 7.5.
Okay. I'm going to agree with you pretty much about it. Now, I didn't know exactly where I wanted to take the ending. If I wanted to say it elevated the movie, or if I wanted to say it sort of lowered the movie because they were doing it for shock value. So it could have gone either way, but the ending was certainly very surprising. So I'm going to go with the 7. I'm going to give it a premium 7.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about some TV shows. The first one that we really need to talk about is House of the Dragon. And this is the prequel to Game of Thrones and really is all about the Targaryens. And the Targaryens ruled the Westeros for 300 years before the Mad King just lost his mind and it was just a mess. I really, really enjoyed this. I hope it keeps up the momentum. I love Matt Smith playing Daemon, the uncle who we know is going to start some trouble because he already is rogue. He already is against all the rules. I like the young princess, Rhaenyra. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly. She kind of reminds us of Daenerys, you know, a little bit because she is a strong woman and she's kind of been overlooked because she's the female character. And there have been, you know, no male heirs. And the king finally realizes, oh, I have a capable heir right here in front of me after all these years. And I thought it was just like really interesting and really well done. And I can't wait to see what happens next. What are your thoughts?
Well, the same thing. I have, you know, I share your sentiments, except that I find the king not quite as, he didn't quite innocently just all of a sudden discover that he had a capable, ready, willing, and able daughter.
Well, he didn't.
He went through just a whole lot of horrible things before he just finally before he finally acquiesced to the fact that he maybe was not going to have a male heir after, you know, his wife had multiple miscarriages and then she died, you know, trying to give him a male heir.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the male heir lived, she did finally produce a male via cesarean, in which at that time, you know, they couldn't control the blood loss and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the baby unfortunately also died.
Mm-hmm.
So he had gone through a lot and he finally said, well, maybe I've been looking at this whole thing in the wrong way all along.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I'm going to make my daughter, who is perfectly competent and capable, it's just that she's female, that's
mm-hmm.
the only thing that's different, that's a departure from tradition, so I'm going to make my daughter my heir. And of course his brother Daemon
yeah.
is not having it,
right?
Okay.
And for the people who watch The Crown, he played Prince Philip.
He's good in this too. Yeah,
the one thing that I think is interesting, we'll have to see what the relationship will be between the niece and the uncle, between Daemon and the princess, because they seemed close
But in the past.
But now that she's the heir.
Yeah. Man, yeah. And he's very jealous of his brother. Mm-hmm. He feels his brother, the king, has not treated him well all along.
Mm-hmm. Even though it seems like the brother, the king has, right? I mean, at least that's what we got from the initial episode.
It's two things. I think what has happened is that the king has wanted to treat him better, but the brother has shown that he's impulsive and violent. Remember, he went into the city with the gold suits and just started slaughtering people.
And having people rape,
you know, and pillage the whole area.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's the two things, is that his brother wants to give him more power and so forth, but he can't really trust his brother to make good decisions.
And I think the final straw came when Daemon made fun of the king, right, losing his son, losing the male heir.
Yeah, and had the party and was carrying on.
At the brothel.
Almost celebrating, you know. So they just really do not have a rapport, and which is different because he did have a good relationship with his niece, the king's daughter.
Right.
But now, I'm sure that's also going to go after
Right.
You know, so we'll just see. But it's really good.
It picks up where Game of Thrones. Where it ended, but before it ended, because I wasn't a fan of the ending, but So let's talk about Raising Kanan. We forgot to discuss that. We didn't forget, but we wanted to save it for this week so we can really talk about it. So a couple episodes have aired, and Kanan is back from Virginia. So he let the heat die down a little bit. Unique is now out of jail. And Omar Epps' character, Malcolm, supposedly he had amnesia. He didn't remember anything, but we know he remembers everything.
Yeah, when they wanted to investigate his shooting, mm-hmm. who shot him, of course he feigned amnesia,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the trauma from being shot
by
his own son. But of course he does not have amnesia. He knows everything. He just doesn't want to put his son in that position.
Right.
And that's really what it's about.
And yeah. Rock to me, I love Bettina Miller. She's doing an awesome job. I love her. However, her stubbornness and her being dishonest to Kanan is going to come back to haunt her.
Clearly.
Because she keeps hiding that.
Right.
Like, this is your father.
And she keeps telling the son how much, she keeps telling Kanan, I love you so much, and all this, everything I'm doing is for you, but she isn't being truthful to him.
Right.
You know, and she's also putting him in harm's way, and every other word out of her mouth is, I got you, I got you, I got you, son. You know, Rock, no, you don't have him. You cannot have him. What you're saying is impossible to do. You cannot have him.
You know what I noticed? She just has really bad decision-making when it comes to men, because I don't know how Omar Epps was in a relationship, but he's a decent guy now.
Yeah.
He wants to be in his son's life. And then Symphony.
And Symphony was very kind and caring toward her.
Put himself at risk Kanan.
You know what? That's right. But you know what? I think she really thinks that she's undeserving of a relationship with Symphony, because Symphony is a, you know, law-abiding, you know, guy and so forth. And she doesn't want to give up her, you know, her criminal lifestyle. And she figures that it's going to be over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And she figures it's not going to work. So I can see her almost just sabotaging that whole relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because either she would have to be willing to relinquish everything she's doing now, mm-hmm. before she gets killed or goes to jail or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't want to do that. Because she would have to do those things to stay in a relationship with Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I kind of got that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I don't understand why she isn't willing to do it, but she's not. You know,
oh, yeah.
Or at least not so far, the way they have the story written.
No.
And I don't know what happened when she was back with Omar Epps. I don't know what happened back at that time. But like you said, it appears as if she just makes poor choices about relationships with men. The other thing is that she's making a very poor choice also about having her son continue in this lifestyle.
He doesn't want to do it.
Everyone is telling her that.
What's right in front of her.
Right. Symphony told her that. She told Symphony to mind her business. She knows how to raise her son.
Omar Epps
is telling her that at Malcolm, and that's his son as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she, for everyone who's advising her against it, she's telling them mind their business. She knows what to do. Well, you see, when she tried to get Omar Epps killed, she tried to, so you know she's not trying to listen to him.
She don't care who she killed.
Yeah,
really.
You know, she doesn't even want Omar Epps in his own son's life at all.
Right.
And that's going to backfire on her for sure. I'm with you, daughter. 100%. That's going to backfire on her.
And we can talk about, you know, the supporting characters a little bit, but we know that the brothers, we know Marvin is, he's in therapy right now. And we'll see how things work out. I'm not 100% sure, because I think Marvin is going to probably start going with the leader of the therapy group. Don't you think? And
that support group that he's in. Yeah, and he's, you know, he's so arrogant. He feels that he doesn't have to stay at all just because the lawyer said to him, oh, just sign in. You know, the lawyer was just exaggerating to try to get him to go.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he knew he shouldn't just sign in and walk out literally. He doesn't see anybody else doing that. He sees other people signing in and sitting there and going through the session. You know,
right.
So, you know, Marvin just has a bad attitude, period.
He does, you know? And he wants to have a relationship again with his daughter, Jukebox, but, you know, he's homophobic, and he knows his daughter is a lesbian.
But the thing about it is that he's trying to force a relationship with her. He's trying to force her to want to make up with him,
mm-hmm.
trying to force her not to be hurt and angry instead of giving it time and working through it. You know, very gently and very patiently, if at all that is ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, well, Juke, what you doing? Juke, I'm talking to you. And Juke is like, I'm not having it.
Right.
I don't care who you're talking to. I'm not talking to you.
Right.
You know, and he just doesn't seem to understand that. But that's true of any relationship. You can't force people to make up. They make up when they get ready.
You
know, and that's just it. So, going on there.
And then the younger brother, Lou, he seems to not be 100% on his game and focused like he had been before the accident.
Yeah, not the drug thing.
No.
He's more focused
on the musical,
piece.
Side.
I think he wants to segue on over into the music piece,
mm-hmm.
but see, Rock doesn't want that. Rock is pushing, you know, the family thing and for them to stay in the business and this and that. And that's all Rock sees. That's all she sees.
With everything.
You know?
Yeah. So we'll see how Lou, what happens with Lou and his new protege.
I am glad that Lou's girlfriend decided to go on out of the way, on over to California or whatever.
Yeah, let her go.
Because she too busy doing whatever with whoever. Just
doing
let her
what I'll be sure, son.
And let's see what that's going to get you.
And finally, the big event of the last week was Scrappy's death. That was terrible. Scrappy didn't deserve to die.
No,
Scrappy was not a rat.
Another big mistake. They you know what? And that little so-called investigating they did to find out what was going on, that was nothing. That was so surfacey,
mm-hmm.
so superficial. You cannot believe it. What Scrappy did was wrong, Scrappy had that gambling addiction.
Yeah.
And Rock had told him, look, Scrappy, you're going to have to cut that out because it's going to bring heat, you know, get you in problems and bring heat. And that's what happened. He got busted with the gambling, but instead of him going to tell Rock, he should have just told Rock, because he did get in a little, you know, he did get picked up, but it didn't go any further than that.
Right.
And, you know, he should have went and told Rock, because how you going to lie about something when people can see you? You're not invisible. You don't know who sees you coming out of a police station.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who can see you.
Right.
And they don't even Omar Epps' character, what's his name, Malcolm, he didn't know why Scrappy was in the police station.
He
saw him there, and he just assumed that he was a snitch.
Right.
And he's the one who said that, and when in fact that wasn't even the case.
Right.
And Rock didn't have a talk with Scrappy.
No.
She didn't. She just sent
Marvin.
What's her name? Marvin.
Yeah.
She just sent Marvin, and Marvin really didn't lie.
Yeah.
Marvin just said, well, I really couldn't tell. I didn't know if she was the cousin was lying or not about whatever, you know.
And they
didn't say that.
And I don't think Marvin and Lou really wanted to, well, they didn't technically do it.
No, no. Well, for sure, Lou didn't want to do it because you said so. Right. For sure, but they were all there.
They all witnessed it.
And you know, and they didn't give Scrappy a chance. The foolish thing Scrappy did was lie.
Right.
About, you know, whatever. But he didn't deserve that. They didn't give Scrappy a break. I mean, I'm hoping to see Scrappy in another good movie coming up soon.
Yeah, right? 50 will put him in something.
I want to see Scrappy again.
Or he'll go do something because
I really think that young actor has chops. Because wasn't he also in David Makes Man?
He was in David Makes Man. Yeah.
You know, so we want to see more Scrappy.
Well, you will.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the first couple episodes of Raising Kanan, we're enjoying them. We'll keep you posted on
50 is continuing on the road of success. Yeah.
Right. And let's give you credit to the writers.
Well, wait a minute now. We're totally to the writers, you know. But we're talking about 50 had the insight to be part of the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. The next series, which is a limited series, we didn't talk much about, was Surface, starring Google Mbatha Raw. And
well, it's still going on,
but yeah, the finale has either aired or is coming up next week. It's coming up soon.
Well, I haven't seen the finale yet, but the story is about a
woman who survived a suicide attempt, but she's lost her memory, so she's unsure of what the freak is going on. She's married, doesn't know if she can trust her husband. She also had an affair. She doesn't know if she can trust her
lover, and he is an undercover
police officer. So it's a lot of stuff going on with this. I'm enjoying it. It is a slow burn for me, but the last episode that I saw, I felt it kind of picked up, and it really was torn as to who should I believe. Should I believe the husband? Should I believe the lover? It was a lot.
So how far did you see up to about her?
That she has some issues. That she's done some things that she wasn't supposed to do, and that she stole money. Yeah, I saw that part.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
So she's not right.
Okay,
we get it. We understand that.
So we don't know where it's going to land when the dust settles, because it seems that they all are a little bit sketchy at this point.
Yeah, nobody has clean hands at this point.
Yeah, but it's good. Yeah. I like it. You know, it's a good vehicle for Yaya. Google.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a couple of other pitches. Well, She-Hulk we'll talk about next week. We'll get into that because She-Hulk is cute.
She-Hulk is really good.
Yeah. We need to talk about Only Murders in the Building and give the review because it had its season finale, its second season. And I enjoyed Only Murders in the Building. I do think it goes all over the place.
It is so. But you know what? That's the part of it that's funny.
Yeah.
It's silly and quirky and funny. And you want to say to yourself, well, my goodness. How come everybody in this building is getting murdered? Won't some of these people move?
Right.
You know. Right. But it's funny. But it's really funny because it isn't actually the people in the building. It has been two of the people that lived in the building so far, you know, who have been victims of murder.
Well, something happened at the end of this season.
But it either... I don't think you have to have been a tenant in the building, but I think you have to be at least close to somebody who's a tenant in the building.
Right.
And they've been the victims, not the murderers themselves.
Right.
So, you know, I guess, you know, but the building is a very charming, very nice, exclusive building.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and it's just funny. And Steve Martin, who I'm not a big fan of, because like I said, I've seen him interviewed, and I didn't like some of his actions and attitudes way back when he did Bringing Down the House with Queen Latifah. I didn't like some of his responses at all. I didn't think he was as charming as he appears to be on camera.
Do you like him as an actor?
He's okay. I love Nathan Lane. I love Nathan Lane. And I think Martin Short is very talented.
Oh yeah,
I'm very, very talented. You know, and he's had to overcome a lot. You know, and I think he's very talented. You know, that's all I'm gonna say. I won't go into anything else.
And what about Selena Gomez?
Selena Gomez is fits right in as their loving and understanding granddaughter. Right. She fits in wonderfully with them. I love Selena Gomez in it too.
Okay. You know, yeah. So I mean, it was a good season. Like I said, there was a lot of quirky things in there. They had a lot of good guest appearances. Amy Schumer, Michael Rappaport, Tina Fey, Paul Rudd, Cara Delevingne.
Shirley
MacLaine. How can I forget Shirley MacLaine? You know? My bad. So I'm giving it a top shelf. I'll give it like 8.5 top shelf.
Okay. So, and I'm giving it a top shelf 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about one of our favorite segments that we do, On the Money or Out of Pocket. Now, I don't know how much out of pocket you can be with this, but student loan forgiveness, Mom. So student loan forgiveness is officially a thing. Obviously, the Biden-Harris administration announced that it will provide up to $20,000 in debt cancellation to Pell Grant recipients and up to $10,000 in debt cancellation to non-Pell Grant recipients. The borrowers who earn less than $125,000 per year or households earning less than $250,000 are eligible for debt cancellation. And it extended the federal student loan pause the final time, though, through December 31st, 2022. And they're also saying that they hope that they can do 5% repayment, that maxing it at 5%.
Oh, man, sweetie Jesus. You didn't have to explain the whole bill. All right,
so out of pocket or on the money. Some people criticize this. I'm not going to say who, but some people criticize it, Mom. All
right. I mean, what are your thoughts? I don't want to go into a whole long debate about it. I'm going to just say to you, I personally think it's a good move. I think it was a campaign promise. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people expected it and wanted it. And there's some younger, especially younger voters who are in, you know, exorbitant student debt. You know, I think they wanted it. And I think it's a good thing. Anytime, listen, you're never going to please everybody at the same time, okay? Or even ever. So you might have to take from some to give to the others and so forth. And what needs to happen is that some of those who got those huge, some of those filthy PPP rich millionaires loans, who got those huge PPP loans, they need to go after them.
Thank you.
Okay?
And
that's what needs to happen. And guess what? I think Biden is coming for them, and that's where you're hearing a lot of squawking from.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I'm going to, you know, co-sign with you on the money 100%. Listen, we don't want to hear any talk about inflation and taxes. That's the stuff that they try to, you know, push on us because that's what they want to do. That's because they'll try and do that. That's not something that they have to do. Also, PPP loans. Tom Brady, you know, I'm a Tom Brady fan. Oh, Joel Osteen, yeah, not so much. Jay-Z, Kanye West, so many different people, and I love Jay-Z. They got PPP loans. They don't need the loans. Come on. This is attacking the everyday man. I'm on the money with this. I think it's good. Student loan forgiveness. Okay. So my something a lot less serious and kind of funny that's been a meme on the internet lately is poor Ginuwine. So Ginuwine has been getting roasted for his dance moves as he's been performing at various concerts. And even one of his good friends, Tank, gave him a 2 out of 10 for his dance moves. They compared him to, was it Grady from Sanford and Son with his dance moves? So do you think they're out of pocket or on the money when they, you know, kind of troll Ginuwine for his live?
All right. Moves? Okay. Here's the thing. I would say they were out of pocket, except for one thing. This is where you lost me, Ginuwine. You are charging people. And I had to ask you about this, Peju, because I thought these things I saw on the internet I thought he was playing around, and, you know, at the barbecue, drunk at the picnic or this or that, you know, and up there just acting a fool, as they used to say, you know, just up there cutting the fool. I didn't think he was serious. But then when I found out he's asking people to give him money to do that, we understand that you're Ginuwine, but then if you charge your money for it, you can't charge money for performances you used to give. You have to perform now. And if you don't want to put any work into it, and I understand, you know, time and tide and weight and age, and I got all that. But guess what? You're not living up to that. We see people your same age and everything. I see Maxwell doing splits and everything. And he wasn't even a dancer. Maxwell's a singer. And he was just up there not long ago splitting and carrying on and everything.
Yeah. Well.
Okay? And he's similar age as Genuine.
No, you're right.
You know? So, Genuine, I saw Big Daddy Kane flipping and dancing.
Still?
Maybe a couple of years ago. Okay. It's similar age and everything. Yeah, still. And running and jumping and twirling. I was like, what? And he was his, you know, he was him, yeah. His age and everything. And I was like, what? Okay. You know, looked like he was doing more dancing than he used to do. You know? So, Genuine, what I'm going to say to you is nobody's expecting the impossible, but you didn't put any effort into what we saw. We know you could do better than that.
Yeah, look at J-Lo.
I'm going to compare him to men. Maybe you can't do what you used to do, and I don't think any of us can, but that's you true. Can do a lot better than you're doing, and people like you, else they wouldn't even bother with coming out to see that.
Well, he probably was in a line of other artists. Ma, wait before you take your toast. You gotta be.
Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care.
Listen, I don't care what the situation is. Pays you, he getting money for it.
No, I know. You're right.
You know, it doesn't matter what line he's in, and he need to be at the back of the line, whatever line he's in.
I feel bad.
He's charging. I don't feel bad at all. I don't care. I don't care what's off. He's getting paid for it. He knows he can do better than that. Mm-hmm. He can sing and dance, but you know, Genuine didn't have a bad voice either.
No, he did not.
He can sing and dance better than that. He ain't doing none of them. Just up there acting like a nut, you know. You know, it's just almost like a comedy skit.
Yeah, that's what
it is. It's almost like Keenan on Saturday Night Live. You know?
Genuine, we know you have it in you, so I'm just sending you positive vibes.
Look, we know we don't expect you to do like you do all on the floor, dragging and carrying on like you was doing my pony. We know that, but we expect you to be able to get up like a little gallop like an old mule or something. You can't even do that.
Yeah.
Or you can do it, but you won't even do that. No, I'm not forgiving you, Genuine, because the reason I'm not forgiving you is because I know you can do better.
Yeah.
And then that's why.
And you see Snoop doing his dance moves. He's not a dancer.
Getting down. You know, and Genuine, you could too. You don't have to do all that like you used to before, like I said, but you could do, you know, something. Yeah. You know, come on. People in their 70s could get a better step going than that. Come on, man. Go ahead.
All right. So this is not really for out of pocket or on the money, because everything about this situation is out of pocket. But I just wanted you to comment. So I don't know if you want to do a quick toast, because it's Nick Cannon.
I'm not toasting to Nick Cannon.
Okay, so we can toast after Nick Cannon. Okay so Nick Cannon is
baby number 10.
Number 10
that we know of.
That we know of.
God
it's
only
probably
knows.
Some more coming.
God only knows the real number.
And this one, I think this is the third child with her, and he also has
stability.
No, he also has another one on the way, the number 9 with some other woman. I don't know, but It's just a mess. We don't know when he's gonna stop. Remember, he said that he was going through grief. Remember, he was going through grief when he lost one of his kids, and so he just started having.
I don't know where this conversation is going.
What are your thoughts, Mom?
Because my thoughts are that it's pathetic, and he's out of control, and he's just is something.
And these women is something wrong.
Something is seriously wrong with him, and these women, just the level of self esteem. Is non-existent.
And then, ladies, at some point, it's not going. I don't care how much money you have; it's just not going to be any.
And not only about the money, what about a parent for the child?
Right.
Why are you even jumping on a sinking ship?
Right.
Because Nick Cannon is going to be someplace in the institution or the wherever, whatever. Not even in control of his money the way he's acting.
Right. You're right. And I think he's. Please. I think he's not well. Physically and mentally, I think, you know.
He's just generally not well.
So, you know, I'm going to just send positive vibes his way. Because
let me tell you something. Good luck to those babies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Because they don't have sensible parents either way. They don't have sensible mother or father.
Yeah, so let's see. Let's see. Like I said,
God bless the babies. Universe, whatever higher power, bless the babies because they're in need of level-headed, responsible parents.
Okay, so let's get into the last segment of this episode, which is reality TV, Ma. So we can do a little toast to reality TV.
Okay.
And this is another Noble Vodka drink, but this is a pineapple. So.
Okay. Health, happiness, long life, prosperity, again, and salud. Okay?
Salud.
All right.
Okay, guys. So we
delish.
We briefly mentioned this show before, Cosmic Love, which is a is a mystical guide, the Astro Chamber, which is voiced by Cree Summer, if you guys remember her from A Different World. And she's leading these four individuals to a path that they hopefully will find them love via astrological matchmaking. And there's, like we said, four individuals. There's a guy named Connor, who's a 26-year-old firefighter and a Gemini. Maria is a 27-year-old makeup artist and a Capricorn. Phoebe is 28, fitness model and digital marketer. And Noelle is a 31-year-old Pisces and a personal trainer.
Right.
Each have four AKA matches.
AKA unemployed.
Right. Each, each have four matches that are revealed throughout the show. They slowly reveal them. They aren't revealed all at once. And they get to date and see who is the best fit for them. So, Ma, what did you think of Cosmic Love?
I don't know how far you want me to go with
you
this.
You can go
thing.
With the whole thing. Okay. Whether well, or not then you recommend here. It. Okay. Well, okay. You recommend it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know whether it's a toss up. You know, to me, it was very mediocre and basically BS. You could tell there was no real connection with any of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of them were bad dates, whatever few little dates they did have. Because
yeah.
A lot of the stuff was group activity. I don't know how long it was. I don't know what part
supposedly of it was. Supposedly five-week experiment.
I don't know how that 5 weeks went. I don't know. They had some kind of group housing. I don't know at what point they lived together or they just randomly got together. I don't know. It was kind of disjointed to me. And, you know, to me, I call basically BS on all of it. Just another one of the shows where, you know, people pretend people did get married. I guess it seems some of them did get married. I don't know if it's married, quote unquote, or real marriage. I don't know what that
part was.
Yeah,
we don't really know about that because it doesn't seem that any of them are really even still together.
No, it didn't. I didn't see any level of connectedness with any of them. Like I said, I didn't even see where they had really good dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't even have really enjoyable dates. And it wasn't. It actually, in my opinion, should have been a bit more structured
mm-hmm.
because they were just sort of roaming around in and out of each other's, you know, rooms. If one person saw another person with somebody they didn't like, they could just go into the room and this and that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit unstructured.
And the people they were supposed to be the matches for the four main core, they could go and date each other and do whatever they wanted to do. It was, you know, just kind of...
I
don't think it was well thought through. I think they kind of just say, oh, cosmic love, but didn't, you know, structure it enough.
No. I don't think so either. And like I said, I don't think, you know, they may have made some friends there.
Right.
You know, they may have had some fun or something and had some friends there, but I didn't see where any of them, you know, really, you know,
four main people, they all kind of had a certain type of look, whether they were facially attractive or their body wise or whatever. It seemed as though to be very superficial.
Yeah, the whole thing was just based on physicality.
Right.
And you know, I want to say a sexual attraction or whatever. And that was it. I mean, the same thing you get from just, you know, meet people randomly.
Yeah, and by the last three episodes, I was kind of, oh, yeah, whatever happens. You know, I lost interest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it probably like about a 5.5.
I was going right there, only I wasn't going to add the half. Premium. I was going to say 5.
Yeah, and it's a low premium because in the beginning it's cute, but you lose interest really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It goes round and round and round until, you know what, you're so compatible with this one. Oh, but your moon is over here. Your sun is over here. Your something is over here.
Right.
So now that makes you compatible with, oh, not that one, but this one. Right. You know, it just was, you know, I call BS on all of it. Just yeah. another one of those shows that, you know, hey, whatever.
Okay, so finally, our last show is, of course, Married at First Sight. And not a lot happened in this show, in this episode, I should say.
Right.
We can start off with Christian and Mitch, and they seem to be getting along really well. And I am happy to see that, because it didn't appear as though they were going to be able to stand to be around each other in the beginning.
That's right.
Which scares me a little bit.
I think, you know what I'm thinking, Paige? I'm thinking that with Mitch, if this is real,
mm-hmm.
okay, if this transition is a legitimate transition,
mm-hmm.
maybe I shouldn't say transition, if this change is a legitimate change, let's just say I'm thinking it was a lot of anxiety
mm-hmm.
because, you know, a lot of fear because Mitch hasn't been in a relationship for a long time.
Only 8 years.
And, yeah, and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And so now this is a woman that he's married to and he's expected to behave in a certain way, perform sexually in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And I think he was just really feeling very anxious about it. And I think once he started to get more comfortable and saw that she was more accepting mm-hmm. and more open, mm-hmm. you know, and just like they say, just a hell of a good sport,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything, I think that made it easier for him
mm-hmm.
to cross over,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let down some of his guards and become a little bit more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that appears to be what it is. And when she divulged some of her secrets to him about her previous, not, well, I don't know about a secret, but when she told him what had happened in her previous engagement,
mm-hmm.
he was very supportive and very sweet and said to her he would never do that to her. He didn't criticize her. He didn't go after her. He didn't blame her. You know, he just was very comforting. And he got points with me for that.
Mm-hmm.
He got big points with me for that because she was, you know, she really, you know, she had some misgivings about telling him because she didn't know
oh,
how
yeah.
he was going to respond.
Yeah.
And he responded well. He responded the way you would want any man in your life to respond, you know.
Yeah, I'm feeling them right now. That can change at any time.
Oh, that's the well.
It's
you know,
very fluid.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
I don't.
But
know.
Right now, they seem to be like the most stable out of the bunch of them.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so Sasha and Nate. So I don't know. I just don't really feel a lot of chemistry between them. I think they'll eventually have sex, without being too graphic. That was odd. What Nate said. I guess you caught all of that.
Yeah,
so
they had dessert and
right.
all that.
You're,
but,
right.
You know, some people have dessert, but let me tell you something. You have dessert after you have the whole meal, okay? In other words, they go together.
Right.
Why did you just have dessert?
Right.
Ain't you still hungry?
Right. So that's
you only
little,
had dessert?
That's a
yeah.
little strange, and especially how sexual we know he is.
Right, but you know, well, you know, Stasha put the kibosh
she
on
put
that.
The kibosh, yeah.
And she's going to be putting the kibosh on anything she wants to because she's got that over 400,000 income.
Right.
So she's going to be calling.
I don't know. And I don't think, for some reason, I feel that Nate's, his income, that could have been
very questionable.
Yeah, it could have been a one-time thing.
We know he hit that lottery that week.
Yeah, or something like that. He went to the casino and won.
He has not been a stable person.
He just doesn't appear to.
But I tell you one thing, he has a nice apartment.
He does. Like I said, you know,
nice.
And he might be a gambler. I don't know. Let me not call that on him.
Well, he doesn't even seem to be a person who's trying to be that stable.
No.
He doesn't even seem to be. But I tell you one thing. He's going to be stable with her.
Or he won't be with her.
There you go. That's, it's going to be one way or the other. You know. So, yeah.
Oh.
So.
All right, let's get into Morgan and Ben, and I'm the least interested in this
couple. Oh, brother.
They're not exciting
I don't see
at
anything.
All.
That, listen, look, let me tell you something. Morgan, she either just is not into Ben, or she need to go find her a woman, okay? That's what I'm getting from her, not just because of her karate or whatever she does, or boxing or fighting, whatever
martial
she
arts,
does.
Yeah.
Martial arts, nah, that has nothing to do. I'm reading masculine energy from her. I'm getting not just masculine energy, and you can be compatible with anybody, mm-hmm. you know, irrespective. I'm feeling that she would be more attracted to a female or a very effeminate man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling from her. I don't think that just a traditional kind of guy mm-hmm. is for her.
Well,
I don't see that.
I think that they both have compatible.
He's not interested in her. He's not interested in her.
He doesn't seem very physically attracted to her.
No,
and
he's not.
You know, and he did a lot of questionable things. You know, question her being a nurse, and you know, just the way he.
Well, you
said
he questioned her being a nurse because she lied about something.
But she was still a nurse.
Yeah, but he didn't understand that.
But
see, he thought because she didn't have that some couple of credits or something, he thought that impacted her title as a nurse.
Yeah, but she had been working as an RN. He didn't talk to her about it.
Well, and she also didn't explain that. It was a shit. To me, it's a shit thing. She lied and he lied, and they need to get over that. That's not the problem. She's making a big thing out of it. It ain't that.
Doesn't appear to be any sexual chemistry. But you know, I thought that
there's
on one of the previews that they were having a shower together. But I guess that was somebody else. Maybe
one
it was Stasha
of, one
and
of those,
Nate.
One of those
I guess
couples.
It was Stasha and Nate. I don't know.
I don't know who it was either, but one of those couples did have a shower together.
That was Stasha and Nate.
And it still didn't culminate in sex.
Well, okay. So, on to Lindy and Miguel. So, this is another couple that, to me, is going to have a lot of drama throughout. They seem to resolve the issue at the end. But see, here's my thing. So, Lindy's issue was... She has no health insurance. Okay. Happens. No health insurance. She wants her husband, Miguel, to put her on his insurance. And Miguel's like, well, I want you to have my last name. And she doesn't feel comfortable doing that because he won't put her on his health insurance.
So it's now a trade-off.
It's a trade-off. To me, when on this program, neither one of them can call that. To me, neither one of them. To me, at the end of this process, if you guys decide that you want to stay married as a couple, then the person should go on the insurance as far as the name change. I don't 100% believe in that. I think that's a choice. But I don't think that either one of them should demand that.
No.
At this stage, 2 weeks in.
Right. To me, one doesn't have to do with the other.
Right.
The health insurance and so forth, that's not it. But I'll tell you one thing. You saying that you're a PhD and this and that, why don't you have health insurance?
That's what I wanted to say, Mom.
You know, I don't care who you meet or this or that. Why aren't you in a position where you have health insurance for yourself?
Right.
You know, you have all these, postgraduate degrees and all this, and why don't you even have health insurance?
Yeah.
And you can buy health insurance. You can get all kinds. You don't have to have the most expensive. They have all kinds of health insurance everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, so for you not to have health insurance makes me think that, I don't know, you are not very responsible on some level.
Right. Is a little bit off with the whole Lindy. Like, I'm not a fan of Miguel at all, but that from Lindy,
I didn't like that. So you raving about your PhDs and you don't even have health insurance? Well, why not?
Right.
Or didn't your PhD put you in a position where you could at least afford minimal health insurance?
All right.
That's real strange.
I'm not feeling them together.
No.
I'm just not.
They're not going to be together anyway. There's nothing with there. And then she's supposed to be wasn't she supposed to be so reserved in her background and all this stuff? Well, she was cussing at him like a sailor.
Yeah, she was.
She was cussing him up and down about that insurance.
And I'm just like, wow.
And how the F is she going to do this and F and that and F and F and F? Well, why didn't you take your F and ass over and get some insurance?
All right. I'm in total agreement with you.
He couldn't have held me over that barrel.
I didn't like that. And then like this, you know.
Not
the
you raving about how independent you are.
Right.
You know, nah.
Get your own insurance.
Yeah,
okay.
You know.
Especially, they've known each other for 2 weeks.
I'm like you, Pay. Nah, I don't even know if it's worth the paperwork. Let's see what's up with this after the 8 weeks.
All right. And finally, Alexis and Justin. Oh, Lord. So
I can't even stand Alexis's voice. I've reached that point with her.
Okay.
And It was gradually happening before that. Now I'm there. Mm-hmm. Every time she opens her mouth, she's criticizing Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Justin is telling all kind of little flaky lies here up there.
Mm-hmm.
As many people do. But he's not telling her any really huge or significant lies. It's just little petty stuff that if you weren't harping on him so much, he wouldn't even be saying those things. He's just trying to get you off him half the time. And the other time is, why aren't you looking after your own dog? If you think he's, if you think he's so incompetent or uncaring or irresponsible or whatever, and he can't take care of your dog, it's your dog that you say you love so much. Why? And why does he have to move his dog out the house? Why can't y'all try things like separating the dogs and gradually and giving him supervised time together and so on and so forth? Why is it all on him? Just get your dog out of here. You know, you'll probably be gone before the dog. Why should you know? I'm not agreeing with any of that as a dog lover anyway. Which I feel for both of the pets.
Yeah.
But wait a minute now, and he might be telling little different stories. What about you? And why do you feel you have to get in front of people and tell them
that was
everything?
The worst. Why does
everything.
She do that? It's a party. Yeah. It's supposed to be like a.
I just want you all to know that everything is not roses. Before you open your mouth, people know everything is not roses because that's life.
Right.
What you could just say is that, well, we're working on a few things and we'll see how it goes. Words to that effect. Words that basically mean nothing. And keep them out. You're sitting in a group where, like you said, Pay, they're having a party and you're dogging this man out.
Yeah.
It didn't. No. I can't. When she opens her mouth, I want to leave the room. I don't want to hear it. I can't stand her voice. And I'm saying to myself, and just who do you think you are? You
right.
think you all these people you think were so in love with you and you had so many proposals, that's why you won this, right? Because you had so many marriage proposals.
Well, she was also like a kid probably at that point.
Listen,
so I don't know
listen,
why she
those
said
proposals
that.
You had, yeah, probably somebody out in the street on crack or something, hey, baby, can I marry you while you was walking down the street or something.
All right.
You know, something they yell out to everybody. You know, no. No, you didn't have no three significant marriage proposals, and I didn't hear you ever say you had three engagement rings.
Right.
I didn't hear you say you had no commitment for nothing. I don't even believe you. I don't believe nothing you say. I don't like your attitude, and you're very irresponsible, and you ain't being a woman. You know, you really into it, and your heart is into it. If your heart is into it, why you don't care what you say about him in front of other people all the time?
Yeah.
Why is it that you think you have to try to make him look small to make yourself look good?
Yeah.
You know, no, it's not that. What you're doing is making yourself look small.
Yeah, I listen.
And
I'm
never starts that.
No,
he's always on the defensive. She's the one always starting that.
I'm a little bit worried about them as, well, no, I'm a little bit worried about him because I think that he is very sensitive. I think that, you know, he cries a lot. Listen, I'm all for, you know, people crying and showing their emotions, but you have a partner who is not 100% very sensitive and receptive to your, you know, your emotions. Mm-hmm. And you made a mistake, Justin, with the dog, but she made a mistake too because, look, that's her dog. She
right.
has to be protective of her dog because she doesn't know. Listen, you can't always control how animals are going to act. You can't control how they act, period.
That's
you can
for
do
sure.
your best as far as, you know, with leashes and, you know, that type of thing and just kind of holding them to restrain them, but you just don't know. So I don't have much confidence in this couple. I'm not feeling it. This is my least favorite couple right now between them and Morgan and Ben.
No, I'm not feeling them. In particular, I'm not feeling Alexis.
Yeah, at least they have more drama. Morgan and Ben is just ridiculous. All right, Ma, three things that made you smile.
The sun, the stars, and the moon, the same thing that makes me smile every day.
Number one, Nicki Minaj's Super Freaky Girl debuted at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. She is the first solo female rap artist to do this since Lauryn Hill in 1998. Usher's residency in Las Vegas has been extended
shout
by...
out to-
Yep, 25 dates into 2023.
Shout out to Usher.
And Vanessa Bryant was awarded $16 million in a lawsuit over the Kobe and Gianna Bryant crash site. And she's dedicating that to their charity.
Oh, so, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Don't mess with Vanessa.
So
but she will come after you.
You know, and I just wish positive things for Vanessa because that's a trauma. Vanessa and the kids, So, Ma, anything you want to say before we leave?
Everybody take care of yourself. Watch out for that monkeypox. Take care of yourself. Make sure you vote in every election. And let's keep democracy alive.
Thanks for listening, guys, to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on social media on all platforms at the Bambushi Happy Hour and also All Things Face You. Email us, guys. Comment. Let us know what you want to hear. Questions. info@bambushihappyhour.com and also All Things Face You. Check out our YouTube channel, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour, All Things Face You, and go to our Bambushi Happy Hour shop at etsy.com, guys. Be safe. Bye, guys.
Bye.